You are listening to the teaching ministries of Southwest Church, located in the heart of Springboro, Ohio, at 150 Remick Boulevard, beside the Kaufman Family YMCA. Please visit our website at www.southwestchurch.org. Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Senior Minister Roger Hendricks.
Audra Norman is with Lifeline. I got to meet Audra actually in November when I went on a mission trip to El Salvador, and I shared that with many of you about that trip. It was a great experience, and that's actually when I met Audra. And so, Audra, if you could just share with us a little bit. First of all, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
And if you could share with us a little bit your role with Lifeline Christian Mission.
Sure. Over the course of the last 17 years, God has been drawing me to work in full-time ministry with Lifeline. And he kind of wrecked us on our first mission trip in 2001, where we met our first sponsor child. And 17 years later, I can honestly say that our investment in his relationship has now led to his baptism as of this last March. So when God called me,
amen.
That was an exciting opportunity. But God called me to work in full-time ministry at Lifeline as the director of child sponsorship, and I'm privileged to do so.
Well, that's great. And we're grateful for our partnership. We have a church-to-church partner with, and I have trouble saying it, but San Julian?
San Julian.
Okay.
Everyone can help Pastor Roger. San Julian.
So I do not speak Spanish, nor do I even resemble that. So and I was kind of the butt of jokes on the mission trip because I tried really
you
hard.
You tried, and that's all that matters, is that you tried.
But we're excited this weekend. We're rolling out another aspect of our partnership, and it's the child sponsorship initiative. And so if you could tell a little bit about the child sponsorship, and maybe for those that are familiar with child sponsorship, maybe how it's a little different in El Salvador than Honduras or Haiti.
Yes, Southwest has been partnering with Lifeline for a long time. So some of you may already sponsor a child. Raise a hand. Anyone sponsor a child with Lifeline? Praise God. But this is a little different, and it's exciting for us to engage in this new area called church-to-church partnership. Here's what I know. I know that sponsoring a child is a financial commitment. $40 a month is above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings, right? And I know that it's also a commitment to a child, to their life, to their family, for as short or as long a time as they're in the program. But what I know about this program being different is that we are walking alongside the local church in San Julian, where we are equipping them, the leaders in the church, and all ministry is going through the church. So everything we're doing in this program is pointing people to the church, and it's pointing people to Jesus. And that's the bottom line, Roger, is that we want the kids and we want the people in the community to know who Jesus is personally and to have a saving relationship with him. So the other areas that we serve in sponsorship are mainly through schools and clinics. And so this is a really neat opportunity for the church to grow. And God is on the move in Central America, and the church is growing.
That's great. Yeah, we sell that from one year to the next with San Julian, and I'm going to keep butchering it, but I'm going to keep trying. My understanding is there are five core focus areas that sponsorship will impact the children that are sponsored. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's hard in about 30 seconds to say something that's really going to motivate you to come see those beautiful faces out at the tables. There's 38 children. Faces on the table there, and we'd love for you to come and see us and talk to us about them. But the five areas that we want to focus on with the children specifically would be educational, where they're learning about Christ through Sunday school and through children's activities in the church, even some tutoring after school. Health and nutrition are two areas of focus. You saw me in a picture brushing my teeth. We had the opportunity to teach the children about hygiene. That was fun and messy.
Yes,
and then relational. You not only get to build a relationship with your child through email communication, through Lifeline, but you would get to go. There's a meeting after church today about a mission trip to El Salvador. There's nothing better than actually going and meeting your child face-to-face, meeting their family, maybe going into their home, praying with them. It's very personal, very intentional. And then the most important thing, like we said earlier, is the spiritual component. We want these kids to know Jesus. We want them to know him as their Savior, and we want them to just grow in a life where they're serving Him. And so those are the five areas we focus on.
Very good. I know last night my wife and I picked up our packet, and we're going to be sponsoring a child in El Salvador. In fact, this
there
is the family that we're going to be sponsoring. This is the Alejandro, who's the pastor of San Julian, and his wife Zulema, and their little boy Axel.
Correct.
And so ever since I've been to El Salvador, I've been praying every day for this little guy. And so we're excited. Jane and I picked up his packet last night, and we'll be we registered online last night, and we're excited about
Amen.
That.
Amen. Praise God.
So if you could just share with us a little bit more about, I know I've been praying, but how those that do decide to stop by and pick up a child, how they can cultivate and develop that personal relationship
with the
child.
Yeah, it's simple. You get started today. Maddie and I will be at the tables, and we can get you set up with your recurring transaction or contribution, I'd rather call it, because you're really giving to the ministry that's blessing the children. And then we get you started with this beautiful packet. You get a photo of your child, a biography, even a little measurement of your child and a coloring that they did for you as a thank you. And then your journey begins. Maybe going to that meeting today and learning about how you can go on this trip to meet those people, those beautiful people sitting there who are praying for you, by the way. These people are praying for you. This church, it's very humbling to know that they're praying for us. And I get choked up thinking about it because they love you. And they're excited about this partnership and getting to know you. And two, the communication is really key. Sending that email, who'd have thought in this day and age, you know, that we'd be able to do that? But through Lifeline, we can do that and have those letters translated and send pictures back and forth and create that healthy relationship for sponsors just to feel engaged and to feel a part. It is what you put into it. It really is what you put into it. We have many sponsors who do both, some who just contribute monthly, and then those who are engaged get so much more out of the experience and are so blessed by it. And we think we're going in to bless them and help them, but we end up being the ones so blessed. So that's it in a nutshell.
Very good. Thank you so much, Audra. We would like just to say prayer for your ministry and just for those that maybe are considering becoming a child sponsor. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for the partnership that Southwest has had with Lifeline through the years, with Haiti and now El Salvador, and we're grateful for that partnership. We thank you for Audra and her work with children. And Father, we know that you love the children all over the world. And we're grateful that through this partnership, we can live out what Jesus calls us to do, is to make disciples, not just here in Southwest Ohio, but to all the nations. And so we're grateful, Father, for this opportunity. We pray for you to put it on the hearts of families and individuals here to sponsor a child. And that as a result of that, Father, that we can truly make a difference. And pray for Audra's work with children all over Central America and the Caribbean, and her work with other churches. And we just pray for you to bless her in every way. Pray, Father, as we think about cultivating relationships with people far away, that now as we transition to our message, that you'll help us think about strengthening our relationships with those that are close to home, maybe even in our home. And so I pray, Father, that you'll just really be at work, and that your Spirit will guide me to say what I need to say today, so that this message will truly be an encouragement to everyone that's here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you could just join me in thanking Audra for being here and sharing with us today. You know, it's appropriate on a weekend that we're examining to cultivate deeper relationships with our church-to-church partner that we would continue to examine how we as a church and how we as individuals can develop those relationships in our lives that we truly thrive in life and in relationships. And that's this series that we've been on about working on all of our relationships. This weekend, we want to examine the importance of vulnerability in relationships. Now, throughout this series, we'll be examining the good, the bad, and the ugly, and of one particular character in the Bible and his relationships with others. We're going to look at a very famous character in the Bible, the character of King David of Israel. Last weekend, if you were here, we examined the tension that existed in David's marriages. This week, we're going to be examining an amazing relationship that existed between David and a good friend. And we're going to be looking at these two friends who in so many ways serve as an example to each and every one of us of what a genuine, authentic relationship with another person should be all about. Now, when it comes to describing vulnerability, first of all, I just want to be a little vulnerable with you. Last couple weeks, really for the last 20 years, I've talked about my love for Purdue and Purdue sports. And this year, maybe I've been even a little braggadocious about how well the basketball team has done. Well, I was humbled this week. And we didn't lose just once. We lost twice. And so because of that, I'm wearing red, white, and blue. We're going to transition this weekend and talk about the Olympics from now on, okay? Because it's just a little painful. I'm just going to be vulnerable, especially to you Ohio State fans that kind of let me know that your team beat my team this week. So I'm going to start out by being vulnerable, okay? But when I talk about being vulnerable, some of you guys might be tempted to kind of check out immediately, thinking that this topic for this weekend is just a little bit too touchy-feely for you. Maybe it reminds you of a chick flick or chick flicks that your mom, wife, or girlfriend enjoy watching, and you think to yourself, I just don't really get into that kind of thing. Now, if that's your first thought, I just want you to know I can relate. I know that my initial response when I walk into the house and my wife is in the family room watching the Hallmark Channel, I just kind of push back. You know, I think, oh, no, no, another one of these. Because I don't know if it's just me, but if you've seen one movie on the Hallmark Channel, you've seen them all, okay? And for those of you who love that channel, please forgive me, but that's just my take on it. So if you're a guy and you kind of push back from this idea of vulnerability and chick flicks, I want to share with you the two characters we're going to look at today are a little bit more like Braveheart, Kingsman, or Justice League, okay? So it's about looking at authentic, vulnerable relationships between David and Jonathan. Two fighting men, two warriors, and yet the relationship that was forged between them. Now, for the ladies in the crowd who have always equated vulnerability with emotion and crying, I want you to know that vulnerability is so much more. It's not just to be equated with emotion. Now, there's emotion attached to it, and we're going to see that in one of our points today. But it's not weakness. In fact, it's a sign of confidence and strength that you can really open up your heart and bear your soul to someone else. You see, vulnerability is truly a quality of depth and substance in relationship. So let's see how this relationship for the ages of David and Jonathan is described in the Bible. So if you have your Bibles or if you have a Bible app, you can turn to 1 Samuel 18, and we see this description of David and Jonathan. It says, now it came about when he, talking about David, had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. I love this description of this genuine friendship between David and Jonathan, two guys who were knit together in their souls. In a book that I've had on my shelf for years, a book by Charles Swindoll entitled David, A Man of Passion and Destiny. The author wrote this: God knew that David needed an intimate friend to walk with him through the valley that was ahead of him. Intimate friends are rare in life. Often we have only one, occasionally two, usually not more than three in our entire lives. There's something about an intimate friend that causes your souls to be knit together. It's what we call a kindred spirit. When we typically use the words and phrases that Swindoll describes this relationship between David and Jonathan, words like intimacy, heart and soul being knit together, we typically think of a romantic or marriage relationship. And although I believe that our description of vulnerability this weekend will help strengthen marriages, and I hope if you're married that you could say that in your marriage relationship there truly is vulnerability, we don't want to limit this weekend vulnerability to just the marriage relationship. As we'll learn this principle for relationships from two guys who were simply great friends. So I guess with all that said, I wanted to ask a question to each and every one of you this weekend. Do you have an authentically good friend that you're truly knit together, heart and soul? I hope you do. But if not, then I hope you'll be inspired by this message today to not simply pray for the Lord to bring such a friend into your life, possibly in this church, but that you will actively seek to be that kind of friend to others. You know, we've said it before, but I believe it with all my heart, the best way to make friends is to be a friend to others. So instead of sitting there today through this message thinking, boy, I just wish God would bring somebody into my life that's a friend like that. Well, that's a great thing to pray, and I hope you will. But maybe a more constructive thing to do during this message is to think to yourself, how can I be that kind of friend to someone else? We can see in this example from the Bible that this relationship at the beginning was initiated by the one that you wouldn't have expected to initiate this friendship. It's important for us to recognize the background for these two guys who formed this special friendship. You see, Jonathan was the son of King Saul, who was the first king of Israel. And David was this young shepherd boy who had stepped forward to become this unlikely hero for the nation. You can read about that in the previous chapter, in chapter 17, David defeated this giant called Goliath. He was the one that even later in this chapter, later in chapter 18, the crowds would sing, Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. You see, he bursts upon the scene and he quickly becomes a hero. Now, it was for that reason that we'll see later, King Saul became jealous and was threatened by David and the popularity that he had with the people. And that's why I admire so much Jonathan. Jonathan, who had so much to lose, who was a soldier and war hero himself, and yet when David comes upon the scene and is thrust into the limelight, we don't see Jonathan being jealous or competitive in the slightest. Instead, we see an authentic relationship take shape. And we learn our first observation today that a vulnerable relationship is willing to sacrifice. A vulnerable relationship is willing to sacrifice. Let's read about that in verse 3 and 4. It says, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. Here we see the king's son make a covenant with David because the scripture says he loved him with a selfless love. This isn't a relationship or friendship of convenience. This isn't a relationship that would be characterized as you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. This is a covenant relationship that was initiated by the one who had much to lose. Now, here at Southwest, we ask those who want to commit to membership here at Southwest to become a covenant church member. This covenant means making a commitment to Christ and to his church, and that a commitment that each member will do their part to protect, accept personal responsibility, serve, and support the testimony of the church. You'll see in the bulletin today, we had a couple just this past week that had been attending here for some time, but they made that covenant commitment to Southwest, and we're grateful to have them as new members. You see, this isn't simply a response of emotion and convenience, but it's a commitment that perseveres through even some of the tough seasons of life. As we read in 1 Samuel this description of David and Jonathan, we see that David and Jonathan had a genuine lifetime covenant friendship. Jonathan had grown up in the home of privilege and royalty. He was the heir apparent of the throne. And yet Jonathan is willing to sacrifice his position, his ambition, and even his future on behalf of this friendship. In this scene we just read, we see Jonathan give this shepherd boy, who probably looked the part in his clothing, he gave him his outer robe, a sign of wealth and status, possibly even a royal robe. He gave him his armor, his sword, his bow, his belt, that were all part of his military dress, a sign of honor. Jonathan willingly, sacrificially gave of himself his honor and even his prestige to the one he recognized as being the one God had his hand on in a special way. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that impressive. I find that to be a very genuine, selfless love. Now, here's the challenge for us. In our friendships with others, in our relationships within the church, for those of you who are single in your dating life, for those of you who are married in your marriages, are you the person that's willing to take the initiative, even at times to sacrifice? Or are you always waiting for the other to take the initiative? Are you always waiting for the other to yield to your position or opinion? Are you always defending your rights? Or are you willing to make the sacrifice to be the first to give, the first to yield, the first to take that selfless step to strengthen the relationship? Or are you always waiting for the other to take the first step? There would never have been a David and Jonathan if Jonathan hadn't taken the first initiative and the sacrifice to form a friendship. Secondly, we see that a vulnerable relationship is protective of the other. It's important as we look at these snapshots of this great friendship to recognize that not everyone was cheering on the sacrifice that Jonathan made. Now, although Jonathan picks up early that David was God's anointed future leader, his dad, the king, Saul, was threatened by David's popularity. And so in chapter 19, we read these words. Saul now urged his servants and his son Jonathan to assassinate David. But Jonathan, because of his strong affection for David, told him what his father was planning. Tomorrow morning, he warned them, you must find a hiding place out in the fields. I'll ask my father to go out there with me, and I'll talk to him about you. Then I'll tell you everything I can find out. The next morning, Jonathan spoke with his father about David, saying many good things about him. The king must not sin against his servant David, Jonathan said. He's never done anything to harm you. He's always helped you in any way he could. Have you forgotten about the time he risked his life to kill the Philistine giant? And how the Lord brought a great victory to all Israel as a result? You were certainly happy about it then. Why should you murder an innocent man like David? There's no reason for it all, at all. I love this scene as we see a true friend who will stand in the gap to defend and protect a friend. Yes, David and Jonathan had made a covenant as friends, and yet that covenant was being tested here. Jonathan, who was also loyal to his father, the king of Israel, is being asked by him to take sides. This is another opportunity for Jonathan and for us to see the heart of integrity that Jonathan displayed. What a contrast to what we see so often in our culture. Far too often in our day, we'll have people say nice complimentary things to our face, but then behind our back, they say negative things. Have you ever thought about how that a true, authentic friendship is just the opposite? I see that in Jonathan here. You see, to his dad, who he loved and was loyal to as well, he spoke the truth to him. You see, face to face, he spoke the truth. But then he also defended David when he wasn't present. He defended his honor when he wasn't there. Jonathan is an example to us of in our relationships, we too should speak the truth to one another in love. But then we should have each other's back and defend each other and protect the honor of the other. In the book I referenced last week, a book entitled Thriving Despite a Difficult Marriage, the authors, who are Christian psychologists and actually brothers, wrote these words: people with hearts of integrity do not have hidden agendas or manipulative ways. They make sure their spouse never has a reason, never have reason to question the sincerity of their hearts, nor their commitment to the covenant made before God. The authors go on to describe that when there's been an offense or wrong in a marriage relationship, that both the offended person, the person who has been, who did the offending, are called upon to have hearts of integrity, are called upon to do the hard work and even at times the sacrificial work to truly be reconciled. I fear in too many friendships and even in marriages, it's easier to simply complain about the other instead of doing the hard work of seeking reconciliation and protecting the interest and honor of the other. When Jane and I first got married, and this has been more than 34 years ago, we made a decision and we made a commitment to one another that when it came to our parents, our siblings, old friends, and even later our children, that we weren't going to complain about the other to other people, but that instead we were going to seek to uphold the honor and protect the dignity of the other. And so I made a commitment to, when we got married, that whenever I would talk to my parents, I would always point out the positives of Jane. That didn't mean that we didn't have challenges. That didn't mean we didn't have tension at times. But that was something we were resolved to deal with face to face. And if we needed help, and at times we did in the early days, sometimes we still need help, we'll seek outside counsel and support to help us resolve those conflicts. But we made a commitment that we were not going to speak negatively about the other, only share the positive. You know, I think that's really helped protect and strengthen our marriage through the years. We've seen other family members not do that. Unfortunately, we've heard negatives about other relative spouses at times more than we even wanted to hear. And I'm grateful that we made that commitment. In fact, maybe at times I went overboard, because my mom and dad, and my dad before he passed, he'd say to me all the time, he'd say, "Boy, she's the best thing ever happened to you." And, you know, in so many ways, he was right. But I joked with Jane. I said, you know, if we ever did have serious problems in our marriage, you know my parents would take your side. How about in your relationships? Are you quick to protect the honor of the other? Or do you find yourself just falling into the trap of being quick to complain and criticize the other? Well, back to our text. If we had time to read the entire section of the Bible in 1 Samuel 19 and 20, we see that David and Jonathan had this elaborate plan that Jonathan was going to discover King Saul's actual plan toward David. And if it was to truly assassinate David, then Jonathan would step in the gap to protect David and allow David to escape from the king. With this as the background, we'll see the next reading that a vulnerable relationship is expressive of emotion. Yes, it's not entirely emotion, vulnerability, but it will include emotion. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 41, David came out from where he'd been hiding near the stone pile. Then David bowed three times to Jonathan with his face to the ground. Both of them were in tears as they embraced each other and said goodbye, especially David. Some translations read in that last verse that these two friends wept together, but David wept the most. Do you remember who initiated the relationship? It all started with Jonathan's initiation. But now what we find as the relationship has matured, now David cherishes this relationship. You know, honestly, as I think back in my ministry, the ministry in Indianapolis where I was served with the church for 8 years, the ministry here for 20 years, as I think about some of my best friendships, both in the church there and the church here, I can't take credit for the fact that I initiated those relationships. As I look back and think of some of my best relationships, my closest friends, I have to be honest and admit those are the people that initiated with me. You see, I love being in ministry. I love serving others. I love my role with this church, and I love serving you. You know, I think it was Mark Twain who said that if you find a job you enjoy doing, you'll never have to work a day in your life. That's how I feel with my work here at Southwest. I don't feel like it's work. I love it. But sometimes I can get so focused on being called to serve others that honestly, at times, I can forget to give attention to some things that maybe I need in my life. And so I'm extremely grateful for those people in my life that have sought me out and said, how are you doing? How can I be a Jonathan, if you will, in your life? You know, this week one of our elders initiated with me and said, could we get together? I said, sure. And I was curious, what does he want to talk about? He made a real effort and we talked about a few things going on in the church, and then finally he said, how are you doing? And I tell you what, that meant the world to me. That he had heard something I'd said a long time ago. He said, I've been praying about that. And that was so encouraging that one of our elders said, and I'm not just saying one of them, all of them, but that he took the time this week to ask some tough questions of how I was doing in life and how I was doing in particular areas of my life. I'm grateful for the Jonathans in my life. I love this passage because we see two soldiers, two men of valor, that they have the security within themselves to express emotion. I was privileged to grow up with a father who was a man of great character. He was a World War II vet who had an impeccable work ethic, a reputation of integrity. He was a man who loved God, loved his family, and loved his church family. And he wasn't afraid to express his emotions even publicly. You see, growing up, my dad served as an elder for more than 20 years at a small little rural church in Indiana. By the way, I need to be careful talking about growing up in rural Indiana, because this past week I received a text from somebody that worships here, and they said, I've been reading a book called Hillbilly Elegy, and I thought of you. And I text back, which part, the hillbilly part or the elegy part? And they said, both. But back to my story, as a young boy, when my dad would stand up in front of the church to announce that someone was going to be baptized, or that someone had been hospitalized, or that someone had lost a loved one, it wasn't uncommon for him to publicly weep. And as a little boy, I would sit in the back of the church. And as a teenager, I was definitely in the back of the church. And I'd roll my eyes and I'd say, oh no, my dad's crying again. It was only later that I realized my dad's vulnerability of expressing emotion wasn't a weakness, but it was a sign of strength. And I admire him for it. A final point, a vulnerable relationship is consistent in encouragement. Years later, in fact, it's the last scene we have of David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 23, we read these words, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Once again, we see Jonathan and David were friends for life. And once again, I see that the love Jonathan had for David was a love that he looked for ways to help David find strength in God. This tells me that Jonathan was truly tuned in to David's spiritual well-being, his faith, and his trust in God. We all need friends, and we all need friends who are looking for ways to affirm and encourage us. Last weekend in our Sunday evening small group, we concluded our time together by saying, what is a positive Christian attribute that you see in somebody else in the group? And we just closed out our time where we took turns just sharing about someone else in the group, something we saw in them that we thought was admirable and commendable. You could just feel the encouragement of the group lift. And I just thought, I hope that that's the culture we consistently cultivate here at Southwest, that in our small groups, in our relationships with others, that we're looking for ways to encourage and point out the positives in each other, to help each other find strength in the Lord. What would happen in your relationships if that became your focus? What would happen in your marriage, not just at Valentine's Day, but throughout the year, if you were looking for ways to affirm your spouse? You see, as a husband, I believe my number one role in my wife's life is to help her find strength in God. Are you doing that for your spouse? Are you doing that for your friends, for the people in your small group? You see, we need Jonathans in our lives, but we also all need to decide to be a Jonathan in someone else's life. In so many ways, Jonathan and David are a foreshadow of what we find in Christ. You see, in Jesus Christ, we find a vulnerable servant. He came to serve. He took the initiative. He left heaven and he came to earth. He came to bring consistent encouragement and hope into our lives. He continually throughout his ministry expressed emotion, often weeping for those who were hurting. He came to protect us from evil, and he came to earth willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. In communion, as we observe here at each weekend here at Southwest, we are reminded that Jesus is the best friend that we could ever expect to have in this life or in the next one. And in the act of communion, we are to reflect on the friend who was willing to lay down his life for us. But I don't know if you've ever thought about it, how vulnerable Jesus made himself to come to this earth to be our friend. But during this time of communion, it's a time for us to strengthen that friendship with Jesus. It's a time for us to be vulnerable before God. It's a time for us to reflect on all that Jesus has done so that we could have a relationship with him. But it's a time for us to examine our hearts and say, what am I putting into this relationship? Have I neglected my relationship with Jesus? Have I looked for specific ways, even this past week, to strengthen that relationship? Am I going to look for ways this week to strengthen that relationship? Let's allow this to be a vulnerable time before the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you that in so many ways, Jesus is that Jonathan in our life. How he took the first step and was willing to sacrifice, expressed his emotion, protects us, and is constantly there to strengthen us. Thank you that even when we go through times of life where maybe we feel like our friendships are weak, we always have a friend in Jesus. Help us celebrate that friendship. Help us examine our hearts and examine our relationship with him during this time of communion. As we take this bread, as we take this cup, remind us of the one we follow, the one who's our Savior and our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Southwest Church Teaching Ministries. We are a community of people committed to following Jesus and making disciples. Please join us for one of our 3 weekly gatherings. Saturdays at 5:30 p.m., Sundays at 9:30 a.m., and 11:15 a.m.